Okay, gentlemen. A guten winter, as they say, a guten winter. It sounds better than a good winter, no? Yeah. It's the Yiddish version. Someone has the vorder, has a thing to it. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, I hope you had a really, really nice Yom Tov. Nice Sukkos. I just looked into today. It's very interesting. We call the day after Yom Tov, we call it Yisrul Chag. I mean, we also say it by it's a capital Tehillim, right? Kuf Yud-Ches, we say in Tehillim, Yisrul Chag, Avosim Atkonos HaMizbeach. That's where it comes from. So it's interesting. I looked into it today a little bit. Where does it come from? So the translation is that we say Yisrul Chag, but how does it start? Yeah, but how does it start? Yeah. It's always harder to go back. Translation is, I think there's a few translations, but one translation certainly is that Yisrul Chag means tie up the Chag, tie up the oh, you got it? Oh, Baruch Hashem.
They moved the tables already.
Yeah, everything's been moved.
You can't leave it underneath you can't leave it in the pouch because it could be anywhere.
Okay. So Yisrul Chag, you should Yisrul Lesoy, like a base asurim, like tying the Chag, the korban. Yisrul Chag, ba'avoisim, an ovois is a rope, ba'avoisim atkan mizbeach with the edges, the corners of the mizbeach. So basically, what it means is take the korban, the animal, and tie it tightly. The Yisrul Chag, tie it the korban, the Chag, ba'avoisim with ropes atkan mizbeach by the corners of the mizbeach. I.e., what it means is that you have a chag, you have a yom tov, you have yom tovin, and you want to tie it. You want to stay with it. It can't just be a yom tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Simchas Torah, and then everything flies away. It goes away. It's like smoke. All like smoke. Everything disappears, and nothing left of it. On the contrary, what you have to do is Yisrul Chag. You should tie the chag, and something should stay with you and remain with you. And tie it to the mizbeach, tie it to yourself for the future through the winter as well. It's nice, no? Yeah. On a technical note, Abayisai, I looked into the luach, and we fell behind. Abayisai, we fell behind. I think primarily because I don't know. I think because of Yom Tovim, and so I would like to suggest we should do the following. I want to do this week. We have some very important halachas in Hilchas Lulav. In Hilchas Esrog, I want to do that. I'm going to go fast the next 2 days, and I want to do that. I will not be able to complete the halachas. I want to start, and I want to do a couple this week. I want to do as much as possible in Hilchas Lulav. What I will not be able to complete, Be'ezer Hashem, I will do a recording, one or two recordings, and there will be Mitzvah online on the website. But I do want to start next week with where we stopped a while ago, which is Siman Nun Hey. Even that is a little bit, just a little bit, that little bit out of sync to where Deal Shul International is holding, the Abdu Nun Zayin. It's not a big deal. It's like a week off or something. It's not a big deal. But I therefore cannot, I don't think we should afford now spending another week or more doing more Hilchas Lulav, because we're going to be further out of sync. We've been out of sync for quite a while. I really feel we should insist on getting back with the world, with the international Deal Shul Luach. And the only way we can do this is by, I want to do a couple of days now, just as much as we can. Perhaps finish the simon, and then the rest will be Mitzvah, will be there online. You listen at your convenience, if and when you want. But next week, Sunday, Mitzvah, going back to Hilchas Siman Nun Hey, Hilchas Kaddish, and then that leads straight into Hilchas Kiyas Shema, and Hilchas Tefillah, which are very important and very interesting. But I think that's the best. Is there any major objection to that, or does that pretty much make sense? Pretty much makes sense. Okay, good. Okay, so for this evening, Rabbi Yisrael, we're up to Simon Tofresh Memches, and we're going to be learning actually the halachas of the Esrik, which are probably the most relevant. And this is it. So Simon Tofresh Memches, Sif Yud Gimel, Chazozis Ukmoya Bebuis V'yesh Boi Mamash. It's in page Kuf Yud Ches in these editions. Chazozis is like an ababuis, bubbles. V'yesh by mamash, and there's some substance to it. Shemekoyim ha'nikah b'mishmash, you can actually feel it as you go through the esrog. Shugavoyim esrog, it's higher than the esrog. So this is what is generally known as the chazozis. Chazozis. There is an incredibly big. There's a difference of opinions exactly, but what we see over here is that chazozis is like a bubble. V'yesh b'mamash, the substance, and sh'mekoymoy nikka b'mishmush, and he goes higher up. The general, most people who have masoros and dalet minim, they will say that they've never seen or very rarely seen a proper chazozis. Chazozis is something which has got to, it's a bubble, it's something which, it's not just something that sticks out, it's certainly something which sticks in. It's something which sticks out, and you can basically, the best way to see a chazozis, if you look in the picture book of dalet minim, you'll see there's something which, it looks a bit weird, a bit strange, it's like a fleshy substance which sticks out, it looks a bit like mold, it looks a bit unhealthy, you can see it's not, oh, do you have a chazozis? It is very rare to actually physically see a chazozis. When things stick out, normally they're just, it's part of the, it's a healthy acid which has bumps, and most bumps that we have...
Could it have been caused possibly by some accidental grafting, some inadvertent chelae may have caused it?
Interesting. Perhaps. It's certainly something which is not a healthy acid, one of a chazozis. So, you're right. Could be has to do with it. Now, what's interesting as well is the Loshna Ababuas, if you look in the grammar aspect, Ababuas sounds like, does it sound like single or plural?
Plural.
Exactly. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah brings Sivkot Memtes, various opinions that hold Ababuas, and Chazozis is only invalidates, only a psul if it's Ababuas, which is a plural, which you've got two of those or more. If you've got one Chazozis, according to many opinions, it's not even possible in the first place. We don't really paskin like that, but this is an important opinion. Now continues the Ramon is very, very relevant. And that's perhaps the most important point when we're looking at an esrik. And therefore, we can be allowing Chazozis, those Chazozis, Shekorim Beloshen Mul, which is called in German a mul, levish enun gvoyim misha esrik, because they're not higher than the rest of the esrik. So the definition of a chazozis was that it's higher up. So therefore we can see that if it's not higher up, it doesn't stick up, and it doesn't stick out, then it's not a chazozis, not just a mul, what the Ramon calls a mul. And that is what we call, if it's level, oh, you've got a chazozis. Yeah, very good. That's what people say is chazozis. Yeah, something on those lines. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. So you can see the bizarre, strange, the soigim. Yeah. Or maybe the tzaddik gimel is a good example as well. I think I like this one over here. If you look at this picture over here, it's even better, I think. Yeah, these kind of things.
It looks like acne.
Absolutely. The person can compare it to acne. Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, it looks like that, yeah. I had this year an esrog which had something fair, not similar, but a bit similar to that. It looked a bit odd, but it's not a chazozis because it was the same color of the esrog, and ultimately you could see that it was part of the bump, just an odd bump, and an odd bump is not a chazozis. But what Ramon says over here is that if you got something which is the level of the esrog, it is fine. That's what we call a bletel. What the Ramon says here is a plethora. If you've got discoloration, which looks different than the esrog, and it's not higher, but it's level, it's the same height than the rest of the esrog, that's called a plethora. And the Ramon tells us, that's perfectly okay. That's not a chazozis. Chazozis has to be protruding out. And others hold, these plethora, they are fine for another reason. They're totally normal. They're part of the esrog. Plenty of esrogim have got that. Nothing wrong with it. So, what the starting point was the chazozis. These acne type, bizarre things sticking out, which are not healthy part of the esrog. These are problems, they're chazozis. However, if they are level, the same height of the esrog, that's a bletel, and that's fine. Two reasons why it's fine. Reason number one was what? Reason one was because it was the same height. And reason number two, why bletel is okay, is because that's how esrog can grow. They've got these... No esrog is perfectly the same color. Most esrog have got bletel here and there. And this is why, when you look at an esrog, nearly all esrog have got some... Well, bletlach, discolorations around the esrog, and they're perfectly fine. They will not invalidate the esrog. What is true, and it's very interesting, the Mishnah doesn't even point this out. The Mishnah doesn't even point it out. But is there a hiddo to have an esrog without bletlach? Is there a hiddo? We know it doesn't validate, but is there a hiddo? Is it better than an esrog without any discoloration, without any bletlach at all?
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. The Pirkei Avot says there's a hiddur, an esek which is completely clean and doesn't have any platelech and any discoloration, that is a hiddur. Mishnevut doesn't mention this, by the way. I'm quoting a Prima Goldim elsewhere. Mishnevut doesn't mention that. But this is why, when you go into an esek shop, and you have various levels of hiddurim, and therefore various levels of prices, there will be, if more platelech you have, it's completely kosher. So of course it's kosher. It's not chazal, it's a platelet, it's fine. But if you want to, the cleaner it is, the more expensive it's going to be, based on a hiddur, which again, Mishnah doesn't even mention. It is a hiddur probably if the esek doesn't have any chazalis. Now, Sif Yudalet, top of page 236. Im also by chazalis, bin in shepossel. What happens, very interesting, what happens if there's a chazalis which taki grew from the esek? Oi, or shomenuma, it's spotted, a spotted esek, or an esek which has a chazozis. In shekoilfoi, what happens if you peel it off? Choizalemare esek, what happens if you peel it off? And, interestingly, when you've peeled off the esek, it still goes back to the color of the rest of the esek. You peel it off, and it goes back to the color of the esek. To me, this sounds very interesting because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But Shulchan Aruch assumes that it can happen. Then it's kosher. So in theory, you can peel it off, and if it grows back, and it will go back to the color of the rest of the esek, it's fine. As long as there's nothing missing, and there's nothing, the color is the same. I've never experienced this. In whenever I've tried to, you know, we play around with the soygim, we cut the soygim off, you know, part of the soygim, it will always have some sort of color. Light brown, dark brown, reddish, blackish, but it's never going to go in line with the rest of the esek. But that, in theory, you could do that. If it's possible, it's kosher to do that. Tesif tesvav, not for the love of mine betolush. What happens if there was, whilst it was disconnected, it was already detached, water, substantial amount of water came on the esek, v'tofach, and it swelled, oisorach, or it started, it shrank. So the water made it swelling, or it's, the shape, it started to have an odd shape. Oishu kovush, or it was soaked bechoymitz in vinegar, oy mevushal, oy menuma posel. So we're learning now that an esek which has kind of a weird shape, either by soaking in various liquids or by having a lot of water, if it starts to have a completely different shape, the esek will be possible. What's interesting over here is talking about the menuma. Menuma means when there's different colors. If the esek has various colors, that could also potentially be passing the esek. So if you have a menuma esek, meaning that there is various colors, around the esek, if it's numerous colors, that could invalidate the esek. But it has to be, as Mishnah points out, colors which are maris posel. Spotted, yeah.
Like a leopard.
Yeah. Have you got a picture there? It's got to be, as Mishnah points out, if called Nunhei, it has to be from colors which are considered Mare Posel. There's various colors, some are Mare Kosher, some are Mare Posel, and it's got to be Mare Posel. To invalidate. Okay. Siv, Tezayin Imu Shocher. What if it's a black esek? Ever seen a black esek? Black esek? Yeah, black esek. Oh, love, when it's a white esek. You got a picture? It's a genuine or graphically designed in a way that...
It's just a bit like
avocado. Oh. Let's have a look.
Kevin Lee. Sarach,
yeah, that's also shrinking and shriveling. What is Manuma in Bad Maris? Oh, very good. We've got such nice pictures here. So let's look at the...
Top left.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. Shachar, that's Shachar probably, yeah.
This is here.
Ah, that's...
Every
Shachar. Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, let's see what he says. Very good. So he said, I'm just read the words whilst you show. Imu Shachar Lovon, if the esek is black or white. B'mokim Echad, in one place, Poisel B'ruboy, it's going to passel it. B'shnayim U'shloshim Mekoymois, but if it's two or three places, then Kechazos L'Poisel Afilu B'Miutoy. So if it's in one place, it's going to be the majority of the esek. Like this picture, large area which is black, that will invalidate. If it is in two or three places, then it's even a small area as well. So if you've got two or three black areas, that will invalidate the esek, two or three black. But if it's one, it's going to be the majority of the esek. So what does that teach us? That if you've got, again, you've got two or three black areas, that will invalidate the esek. So what does that teach us? Less than that is right, definitely. And it also, but on the other hand, the stringent aspect of it is, if you've got three black dots, that would invalidate the esek even if they're tiny. So therefore, Rabbi Yisai, three genuinely black dots will invalidate the esek. It is rare, because black means black, and black doesn't mean brown, and black doesn't mean red, and black doesn't mean dark red. Black means black. Real, real black. And that's fairly rare. Yeah.
What happens if half the esok, half of each area is totally black? You've got half yellow.
Yeah, that will, exactly half. Good shayla, I don't know. It's an interesting shayla. If it's exactly 50% of the esok, I don't know. It's an interesting question because we only speak of the majority. I imagine the answer is if it's less than, if it's just exactly 50%, I imagine it will still be kosher. It's an interesting question though, an interesting question. Yeah, Siv Yudzayin speaks about Mokum Shayesoigim Shalem Ken Shchoyros Me'at Ksherim. What happens if you grow a soigim in a certain place, in a location which the soigim are a bit blackish? The soigim are a bit more dark, a bit black. Then he says, if that's the soigim that grow in that particular place, then fine, Ksherim, it's kosher. But if it's completely, completely black, Kodom Kushi, I'm just translating, like a Kushi person. Okay, I didn't say that. Arez apostle, this is apostle, bechomokim in any place. So we're distinguishing over here. If they grow in that particular place a little bit darker, then that's totally, if they grow in that place, that's totally fine. That's kosher. That's the way they grow. But if it's completely black, that will be possible. Now, I want to point out something here, which is a very big chiddush, and not everybody agrees with that. But I think there's a strong argument. Again, he says if the esek is a bit black, then it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Shulchan Aruch says because that's the way they grow in that particular place. These are soigim that grow in that particular location. They are a bit more darker by nature, and that's okay. Now, I want to ask you a following question, Rabbi Yisai. Many Moroccan esoigim, and we saw this year, you know, Moroccan esoigim, and they are very, very beautiful. The Moroccan esoigim are really beautiful. They tend to have many Moroccan esoigim, not all, but the majority of them, have got by the pitum, they grow beautiful, they've got very strong pitums as well, which is also a great advantage. Moroccan esoigim have got the solid pitums, much more than the Israeli. They are very strong, they're solid, and they don't tend to fall off. They are fleshy kind of pitums. Now, the pitum on top happens to have right under the wooden bit on top, and then after the fleshy bit, which is yellow as well, is just underneath it. Yeah? You've got that kind of crown, and then after this it goes like this, and after this comes the esek. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Now, this part over here is a bit like a wood, like a wooden kind of thing, and then underneath it is that part over here has often black dots. Now, based on what we learned before, black is a problem. If you've got more than two or three, it could be a problem. So I'd like to ask the question, would you feel it's a fair argument to say, my question is this a problem or not? We've got black dots on a pitum. It's not great. Is it a problem or not?
It's not part of the esrog
itself. Very good. So many poskim say it's the pitum. Even if the pitum comes off, it's not a problem really. So knock off the pitum, and then you won't have a problem. So it can't be a problem because the pitum is a, what's the word?
It's not an integrated part.
Yeah, that's right. It's more like an added part. It's an appendix, as it were. So therefore, it can't matter.
Ancillary.
Yeah. All right. It's not integral. Others have even a better svara, and they want to say, based on what we said now about the blackest soigim, on the darkest soigim. What's the argument? What could you say? Since they grow in that place like that, what could you say?
Okay.
It's okay. Why?
That's how they grow.
If a darker esek is okay, because that's how they grow in that particular place, so it's fine. So you could surely also argue that if you've got an esek, which has got black dots by the pitum, and that's how they grow, then he can't, it's not a problem. So many poskim want to say that the black dots by the pitim is not a problem by Moroccan esogim. See if you tres. Ha'ogel kekadur posul. A round esog like a ball is posul. You got a picture? If it's kakadu, literally like a ball,
circular, spherical,
yeah,
spherical.
Then it's absurd. The question is, what happens if you've got a pitim on top? Will that help or not? I had this here, I wanted to bring it, but then I lost that esek. It was very, very round. It was very round, and I actually wanted to pasl it because of kakadu. But it did have, on the very top, oops, there was the pitim. So is that a hechsher for the esek or not? It's very round. It's literally like a ball. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, perfect, yeah. That's it. But you got a pitim there or not? This one probably doesn't have a pitim, right? That's kikadu. That's mamash kikadu, yeah.
That's the end simcha of a bottle of the yarn. We're all looking a bit like that at the odd
time. Yes. So the thing is, my esek had, on top of here, had a pitim. And then I wasn't sure, perhaps that's okay, because it's not like a ball anymore. I wasn't sure. Well, Rabbi Sai, what would you say? Is it like a ball or not like a ball? Is the pitim sticking up? I don't know. I had it this year. Yeah, so, and the Mishnah explains, if got nun test, the reason why it's no good is because she'en dar kolio is kein. An esek doesn't grow like a ball, it's not an apple. You know, they have a certain shape. Yeah, I suppose that's, yeah. There's no chotem there, yeah. See if you test, very interesting. Gidlo bit fuss. What happens if you take it into a mold? You take a mold, when the esek is, well, it's really not so hard to do it. You have an esek, as they grow, you put an esek into a mold, into a shape. And then you can grow it into any, you can put it into a Coke bottle. It will grow like a Coke shape as it grows. You can put it in any shape. So if you get a little bit forced into a mold, and it looks like a different, you make it, you want it like a banana shape or whatever. You want it like a pineapple shape. I don't know. Like an apple shape. Possible, it's possible. What happens if you wanted to make it into a very nice shape of an esek? You had an esek mold. And you put the esek into that mold of an esek as it was growing. It had a perfect esek shape. Then he says, "So it's going to be kosher, even if there is more like the shape is more extreme and more significant. The shapes, the bumps, and the are more significant. Nevertheless, it's kosher since ultimately this is a shape of an esek, and all you have done is you have shaped the esek." You've made the shape of the esek more
rounded.
Not more rounded. More, it's an esek shape. Like more highlighted. More.
You've elongated the ovalness of it.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that if I'm making a different shape out of the esek, that's possible. But if I have an esek that is going to grow into a perfect esek shape, despite the fact that I've made a mold and I've kind of changed the natural growth of the esek, but since ultimately what came out is an esek-shaped esek, it's okay. I've tampered with it, but that's okay.
Not from grafting.
Not from grafting. We'll talk about grafting at one point in the machine. Yeah, what does it say?
They've got a picture of, I don't know if it's been manipulated, but they've got a picture of like a bottle.
Yeah.
On the tree.
Very good. That's it. Yeah, very good. So that would be possible. Very good, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and finally for this evening, Sif Chof, Hatioim, Atioim Esek, the Hainosh Shagodl, Shnaim Dukim Zebezeh. It's a twin kind of Esek, two growing together. I've seen pictures, I've never seen them in real life. Kosher, that's kosher. Two esoigim growing, like a Siamese twins growing together, then that is considered, that's kosher. Yeah, let's see. They. Oh, here it is. Yeah, that's the look. Yeah. Tium. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Where about? A bit late.
Oh, yeah. When you have a pregnancy which involves one and then another one.
Oh.
Conception before birth of the next one.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Okay. Very good. Okay, boys, that's it for this evening. We'll carry on with Shem tomorrow from Sif Chof Aleph, and we'll talk about grafting tomorrow with Shem. And yeah, okay, that's it for this evening. Wish you a very good evening, boys.